Well, do open your Bibles with me, please, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and as we settle down with the Word of God, did we know that since 2018, not all, but many modern cars and vans are fitted with an emergency button? Said another way, there's technology in some cars and vans that is, in effect, watching over the journey that is at hand. Just as this button can be manually pressed if the driver or passenger reckon it's right to do so, on the occasion that the car's airbags deploy or the fuel pump switch is deactivated, a message is sent from the car to the closest emergency call center. But not only a message, very helpfully, the vehicle's location is shared as well. And a voice connection is established between the occupants of the vehicle and the emergency services. And if you're now thinking, have I got one of these? Well, check the ceiling console next to your driving mirror. Check the center console, or just do the old-fashioned thing and open up the handbook. Now, while I cannot speak for everyone, I think this advance in vehicle technology is pretty decent. It adds a good level of cover with respect to those journeys that we are undertaking on the road. But here's the thing. Even as we recognize the benefit of this technology, at the same time, we know, don't we, that it's limited. It's limited to those times when we are in our car or in that van. And so this leaves us with a problem. Who or what is looking after us when we're not in our car or in our van? Presupposing that we've got that button to press in the first place. By strong contrast, when it comes to a permanent watch over our lives, far better than an emergency button in a car or a van is the permanent watch by the living Lord God. A permanent watch that is explicit in our short psalm for this evening. And if we were going to sum up this little song set before us, we might say that in Psalm 121, we are going to learn about the Lord's unceasing care for us, for his people, as we travel home to heaven. The Lord's unceasing care for us as we travel home to heaven. Now, to help us to get into our song, can we see at the top there, if we've got our Bibles open, can we see at the top, the psalm has a title. It's written in italics, and the title is A Song of Ascents. And last Sunday evening, we established that there are 15 psalms with this description, and staying with last week a little bit longer, we might also remember that the phrase Song of Ascent points us to a literal going up. Using other parts of the Bible to help us here, we know that three times a year, every Jewish male was expected to travel to God's special sanctuary, and they were to appear before the Lord with an offering that was in line with what they could afford. And during the reign of King David, Jerusalem became the designated city in which God's special festivals were celebrated. And as the people made their way up to Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, which stands over 700 meters above sea level, so it was that the people sang songs of ascent. The people rejoiced in the knowledge that the Lord was with them as they made their way up to his city nestling in the Judean hills. And having introduced our subject for this evening, our reference to mountains and hills gets us ready for what is to come at the start of this psalm. And if you're making notes, our first point goes like this. Heading one, the believer instinctively depends on God for help. The believer instinctively depends on God for help. And this is verses 1 through 2. Look at verse 1 with me again, please. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Now, as we think about this songwriter looking up at the hills and asking for help, there are different suggestions that are made in respect of our opening verse for this evening. Some say that what our songwriter pictures at this point is the last climb up to Jerusalem, and after a long journey, he needs help to finish off that journey that he's undertaken. He needs strength, as it were, to get over the line. Meanwhile, others suggest that the songwriter is walking to Jerusalem through the hills and through the mountains. And as he walks through that hilly terrain, he knows that that hilly terrain is likely to be hiding robbers or bandits. And as the writer calls out for help, he knows that he's going to need help to avoid being attacked. Others still suggest that the writer looks up and sees idols and shrines to pagan gods, to false gods. And he knows that as he walks past those shrines and those high places, he knows he's going to need help if he's going to avoid temptation, if he's going to avoid being drawn near to those false things as opposed to going and worshipping the only living God. But as we consider those three things, whatever it was that prompted the writer to look up, to scan those hills and then ask for help, what is clear is that our writer knows instinctively who he must go to when it comes to asking for help. Verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So while we can really only speculate about the first half of verse 1, or verse 1 as a whole, in verse 2 the writer is in no doubt at all about who he must trust during his journey to God's special city. Now, verse 2, the writer is effectively saying that even though there are real concerns on this journey that I'm undertaking to God's special city, nevertheless, I am saved by the Lord. I am helped by the Lord. And then I love the extra detail. I'm helped by the Lord. I'm saved by the Lord. Who's done what? He's the one who's made the heavens and the earth. And as we take in the Lord's work in the lives of those who love him, let's hover, brother and sister especially, let's hover for a few moments and remember who the Lord is before we go on to apply this learning together. When we see the name Lord written in capital letters in Scripture, the translators want us to call to mind, to think about the self-existing one, or Jehovah, the proper name of the one true and living God. This one who has no beginning and no end. This one who is completely just and right in all his ways. This one who gets mentioned 5 times in 8 verses in our little song for tonight. This is the one that the songwriter loves. This is the one that the songwriter can trust. Whatever this believer faces, he knows his help comes from the Lord, the one who made, who spoke the heavens and the earth into being. And applying this briefly, how good is this, brother, sister, to repeat these truths to one another? As we apply this to our lives now, there are many things to cover off during a house move and a relocation and as we think about the future and what we might do. There are many things to contend with this week and the next few days. But look, it's okay. Why? Because our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I live on my own. It makes me nervous sometimes. I get quite scared. And you know, I truly miss my spouse. And I get these pesky calls and people come knocking on my door who I would really rather not speak to. But you know, it's okay. Why? Well, because my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I've got a lot of studies to get through in the next few years. I've got a pathway that I can see in my mind's eye, but there's a lot of ground to cover in between times. But you know, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned by those things, because the one who made the heavens and the earth, that one is helping me. The world is a frightening place in which to raise children. But, you know, as parents, we remember that the one who's going before us, the one who's helping us, we know by faith he's the one that's made the heavens above and the earth below. My health is pretty bad at the moment. Or my schedule this week, it's really grim. I've got meetings with different people at work. I'm not looking forward to it. But you know, despite the toughness that I can see coming down the line with my health and at work, you know what? I'm covered. Well, why? How? Well, because I trust in the one who made the heavens and the earth. By faith, I know his power, his care in my life. And you know, Christian, we can be confident of these things, because heading to now, the believer is consistently cared for by the Lord. The believer is consistently cared for by the Lord. This is verses 3-6. Let's go over verses 3-4 again. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So at the beginning of verse 3, we have this slightly unusual thought that the Lord won't allow our feet to move. But the language here is not so much about being restricted to one spot. Rather, this is more about the believer persevering in faith with the Lord's help. And as they do so, we are to know, brother and sister, we are to know that the Lord never misses a moment with us. For sure, and this is true for all of us, we persevere better on some days than on other days. But let's be clear and say that this is less about our inconsistencies and a lot more to do with the Lord's permanent watch over the lives of his chosen people. Even if we do fall over in our faith, and we do, all of us, whoever we are, whatever we've done in life, we do fall over at times in our faith. The writer is telling us that the living Lord God will not let go of those who truly belong to him because of the precious blood sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. That is his grace to his people. It is amazing grace. And having said as much, the writer then goes on to explain how this is possible, and as this oversight, this permanent oversight is possible. And as the explanation lands, shift workers in particular, or those tending still to young children, you will be amazed by this wonderful watch that the Lord extends to his people. How does the Lord ensure he never misses a moment with us? Well, as verse 3 goes on, the Lord never misses a moment with us because the Lord does not slumber. The Lord does not become drowsy. This is what I meant when I was talking about shift workers and people looking after young children. The Lord does not slumber. He does not become drowsy. He does not go to sleep. That is, the Lord, as we explore the language here, the Lord does not become lax or languid or casual in his attitude towards us, those described as the apple of his eye, those he talks about as being in the palm of his hand. Even though there are times when we are, frankly, honestly, truly, blatantly lax in our attitude towards him. Pausing to illustrate and develop this a little bit more as we think about the Lord's permanent vigilance, which is wonderful. As we consider these things, for most of us listening to this, we will at some point in our lives have been required to stay awake for a very long time, if not through the night, for a large part of the night. We've been required to stay awake when every, and it does feel like this, doesn't it? It feels like every millimetre of our body is saying, go to sleep. Just shut your eyes, pull the duvet over your head, just go to sleep. And we feel the weight of those moments so keenly when we're looking after a little one or somebody who's unwell. When perhaps we might be having to stay awake and write up a report following an incident that we've been involved in, or driving home after a delayed flight, or we're perhaps Zooming or teaming a crucial meeting that involves different time zones, and so we're having to stay up through the night. It hurts us so much to stay awake and carry out our various tasks and responsibilities. I mean, we were made to go to sleep in the night watches. You know, we haven't been given large eyes and big ears and bushy tails, have we? Right? Those are the things that creatures need at night. We haven't got those things. We need to sleep. We need to rest because we get tired. By strong contrast, the self-existing one, Jehovah, we're told he is never off watch. He never goes to sleep. Not a single moment is missed. And verse 4 underlines the point for us. And our writer really wants us to get this in the goodness of the Spirit as he says, look, verse 4, the one who cares for you, paraphrasing here, he does not go off watch for you. He is permanently on watch for you. He does not slumber or sleep. What else might we say under heading 2? Well, just as the Lord maintains that vigilant watch over his people, so the Lord also defends his people too, day and night. Look at verses 5 through 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So at verse 5, the Lord now helps us to get a sense, or rather the writer helps us to understand that, or to sense the closeness of the Lord's watch over the lives of his people. At the start of verse 5, the idea of the Lord keeping his people, the language that's been used here, it points us to a scene in which, if you can imagine this, we're being hedged in. We're being guarded. We're being observed. We're being kept. Divine attention is being paid to our lives and those untrodden footsteps that lie ahead of us. And then as verse 5 goes on, the writer reminds God's people that the Lord is like a shade, or that the Lord will be with us each day that we are given by him. Expanding this a little bit more and picking up on the reference to the believer's right hand, we know, don't we, from previous times together that the right hand or the right side of the body was traditionally seen as the strong side of the body. Figuratively, the right side is the bit that hits the day first. And while the new day may hold for the believer many complex and concerning things, with the Lord at hand, with the Lord as our shade, with the Lord present to help us and to manage well the new day that we have been given, the believer can, it is true, the believer can get out of bed with a radically different mindset to that of their unbelieving friends. Why do we speak like this? Well, because the maker of heaven and earth goes before us. The very thing that we've encountered at the start of this song. The maker of heaven and earth is with his people as we face that new day. And not just during the day. I love this. Not just in the daylight. As verse 6 lands, we learn that the Lord's protection is day and night. Verse 6 again, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Isn't that wonderful? Dealing with the daytime first, there are times when, in a figurative sense, all of us in different ways, whether we're paid employment, unpaid, volunteers, helping out somewhere, there are times during our day, in a figurative sense, when we feel like we're being scorched by various problems, people, events, trouble and difficulty that we didn't anticipate. And if we did anticipate it, we're not handling it very well. And we think, wow, this is so hot. I'm so uncomfortable. I'm not coping very well with this. Things are tough. However, Jehovah is at our right hand. This is what the Word of God is reminding us this evening. Jehovah is at our right hand. And not just in the heat of the day when we feel the pressure and the pinch points that come to us all in different ways, so too the night time. It's the second part of verse 6. The Lord is with his people in the night time too. That time when, poetically speaking, as we keep using the language to teach us, poetically at that time when we might feel spiritually cold, when we might feel lonely or isolated or cut off, or overwhelmed by things we don't understand in the darkness and in the shadows, the Lord, God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, is with his people in the nighttime also. And the reason for the Lord's unceasing vigilance over his people is because he wants the best for us. Isn't this good news? He wants the best for us. And this statement sets us up then for our third and final point, Heading 3, the faithful believer can only benefit from the Lord. The faithful believer can only benefit from the Lord. And this is verses 7 to 8. Please follow as I read. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. At the beginning of verse 7, the totality of the Lord's care for his people is announced once again. The Lord will. Let's underline that. The Lord will. Not maybe. The Lord will keep, or the Lord will preserve, or the Lord will hedge in. He will guard. He will have a heed for his people when we are battling against sin and temptation. When sin crouches at our door, there's only one who can truly help the believer, and that is the Lord. And who is the Lord? He is the maker of the heavens above and the earth below. Why are we so slow to remember these things? When sin is crouching at our door, who stands ready to help us to defeat those sinful thoughts and those grievous attitudes? It is the one who made the heavens above and the earth below. The power at hand goes way beyond what we can truly understand, but he waits to hear from his people to help us battle through those moments of temptation. And you know, there's nobody else on the face of this earth that can make promises like this to us. Only the Lord can make a promise like this. And just as he is the one who can keep us from evil, and I should add, if that's how we want to live, we too must play our part. We must be serious when it comes to sinful attitudes and sinful lifestyles. You know, if that is the route we're going down, then very sadly and worryingly, the Lord in the end goes, well, have it. I will give you what you want and see how far you get in that way. And it will be a painful way and a horrible way and a grievous way, and it will bring us down.
if we want to overcome evil and sin and temptation, whatever it looks like in our life, from things up here to things that come out of our mouth, things that we do with our hands, the course of action that we take, we have to want to say no to it. It is a fight. It is a battle. But we're not on our own. I mean, Psalm 121 can't underline it or highlight it any better than what we've seen this evening in God's Word. God's Word speaks plainly. The Maker of heaven and earth stands ready to help God's people. Do we believe it? Do we remember it? And how much do we want to live for Him as opposed to living in the world? One life, and after that, judgment. Surely we want to live for Him because of the inheritance that He offers, gives to us in Christ.
He is the one who can help us to overcome evil, sin, and temptation. And He also is the one who preserves and guards us in our faith. That's what we get at verse 8. Not just in the present, but in the life to come. And this verse also is so precious, surely, to the believer. The Lord, and notice the emphatic nature of the language, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Isn't it wonderful? From this time forth and forevermore. So good to know that constant watch of the only living God, the one who's in charge of the universe, watching over creatures like us, and ready to hear from us and to help us live for Him. This is what we have going out to Monday morning, if Monday morning is given to us. The Maker of heaven and earth going before us. As we start to wrap up our thinking here, back at the beginning, you remember we thought about that emergency button in modern cars and modern vans. Many, but not all. And while this oversight of our lives is good in one sense, we also said that this vigilance, technological vigilance, it's limited. It can only help us when we're in that car or in that van. By strong contrast, for everyone who trusts in God the Saviour, Jesus Christ, we know by His word that we are consistently cared for. Every second of every day and during the night also, when we're asleep and we're not aware of what's going on around us, the Lord is there right with His people. And as we head for Christ now, how is it that Jesus knows that this is the kind of help that we need as we persevere in this dark and wicked world, as we persevere and travel home to heaven and Him? Well, Jesus knows that we need this kind of watch and care because Jesus needed this sort of watch and care in His own life as He ministered here on earth. Do we remember? As Jesus was brought back from the Garden of Gethsemane under arrest, Jesus would have climbed up the side of the Kidron Valley that led into the lower part of the city of Jerusalem. And as He climbed up the side of the valley towards the city's walls, above Him and to His right side was His Father's house. It was the temple. And as Jesus looked up, as He was making that ascent, as He looked up to the top of the hill, as it were, as the Son of God apprehended all that Israel's religious leaders and Rome's soldiers were about to do to Him, never mind what He knew He must become on the cross for the goodness of His chosen people, during that walk under that night sky, how precious did the first and second line of Psalm 121 become on Jesus' lips. As Jesus is making that ascent into the city, with the cross just hours away, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? As I get ready to become sin for my chosen people once and for all times. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You know, as we consider that night walk by the Saviour, we do not overstate the point when we say that there has never been a greater ascent than this, because not too many hours later, on the northwest side of the city, the crucified Jesus became the Lamb of God. And as Jesus atoned for the sins of his people once and for all times, guaranteeing for all who have faith in him that he will keep our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Therefore, Christian, when the new day comes, if Monday is given to us, and we are wondering, how am I going to get through Monday, never mind the rest of the working week? Let all of us, Christian, let all of us remember that our help comes from the Lord, who's done what? He's the maker of heaven and earth. And then finally to you, friend, who or what do you use in this life to get through? And critically, as you consider those things that you are leaning on to help you get through, how much does it cost you? And are there side effects? And is what you're doing, does it harm you? Does it affect others around you, your loved ones perhaps? Furthermore, if you are putting your hope in a person or a habit of some sort, that person, that habit, they might not have failed you up to now, but you know, these things don't go on forever, do they? They don't last forever. There's only one person who promises to watch over us and care for us and help us day and night, and that's God the Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so I urge you to put your trust in him. Confess your sins to him. Be baptized and use his gospel for life. Do this and you too shall be able to say that the Lord has kept you, not just in this life, but in the life to come, forevermore. Amen.